This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters when we come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. As we head toward the NFL draft, which comes up a week from Thursday, cornerback out of the Washington Huskies program, Sidney Jones, might be the most interesting player on the board. Scouts have raved about his speed, his ability, his ball skills. They've said he projects as a shutdown corner in the NFL, that he could be the next Marcus Peters, that this guy's got it all. But Sidney Jones tore his Achilles at his pro day and will need months of rehab before he's back on the football field. So will he be the best bargain in the draft? Where will he go? Who's going to grab him? Joining us here on the show is Sidney Jones. Sidney, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and I loved your Players Tribune column that you wrote yesterday because it really took the reader inside this process for you, inside this experience for you. Mentally, how are you doing? Because you talked about how crushing it was when you learned you tore your Achilles on the pro day.
It was crushing the day of course. I've never been injured like this. It's my first surgery besides my wisdom teeth, but first major injury, it was kind of crushing, but you get the news and you can't do nothing about it besides move forward and you know, go ahead with life and basically, like, you know, take it for what it is and just start the rehab process and get better from there.
How long did it take to get out of the doldrums, the depression? Because that can take some people days, it can take some people weeks, it can take some people months. How long did it take you?
I give it 2 days at the most.
48 hours and you would turn the corner.
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting when you wrote, if you draft me, you're drafting more than just an athlete, a whole lot more. What are teams drafting with Sidney Jones that's more than just an athlete?
You're drafting a great person, a great guy, somebody who gets along with everybody, somebody who you would love in your locker room. That's a very big part, you know, football teams and teams pay attention to character and everything. Obviously, some people have other issues and people still take them, but there's no issues with me. Football-wise, I'm a great player. My film speaks volumes. I did everything the right way. Film, combine, pro day, basically completed pro day. I did everything that I was supposed to do, being up to this point, and this was just an unfortunate event.
You also said that last year you kind of became a film junkie, that you would go in there with Coach Lake and you would just be locked in watching film all the time, and that it was so much that some of your teammates even busted your chops about it. But what made you kind of gravitate towards watching that much film?
My coach, Coach Lake, so after my freshman year, he challenged me. just taking my wanted to take my game to the next level, and he believed film would do that for me. So he challenged me to just watch film, and basically he taught me how to watch film, what to look for, and just basically becoming a student of the game. And that was just a very important of my college career, my growth as a player.
So, well, yeah, go ahead.
He just challenged me in that sense.
Washington cornerback Sidney Jones joining us here on the show. Do you feel like you could be a lockdown, shutdown corner when it comes to the NFL?
Most definitely. My confidence, my ability, and knowing what I can do, I have no doubt in that.
The video of you injuring your Achilles at Pro Day is so interesting because obviously it's a non-contact drill and you're just backpedaling and then coming out of your break. And when you do that, you just kind of collapse to the ground. And on your face, it doesn't look like you notice exactly the severity of it just yet. When you're on the ground, you're just kind of looking at your ankle and your leg. Are you thinking it's no big deal?
Yeah. So I broke, came out. I'm like kind of like confused. Feels like it didn't hurt like at all. So I'm like, whoa, like what? Like, what just happened? I'm thinking that. And then Buddha comes and helps me up. And I get up. But I notice, like, I can't walk, so I just kind of, like, stay there. And then I can imagine how weird it was for, like, other people watching, like what the heck just happened?
Yeah.
But it just happened to be me. And it was just weird. It didn't hurt, so I was like, I got carted off, didn't think anything of it. I was probably like in shock, maybe, I don't know. But when I got inside, they told me it was possibly torn, and then that's when like kind of reality hit.
You know, the good news is it's not an ACL, which would make you miss the entire football season and try to come back a year from now. It's an Achilles, and sounds like maybe 4 months is where it's at, which means that you would be ready by the time that the preseason rolls around. What's your hopeful time frame of getting back on the field?
I'm pretty sure I'll miss preseason. So the season starts September. I'll be back in September. That's 6 months. And that's what the doctor told me. So I'm pretty sure I'm ahead of schedule too.
You know, without the injury, you were likely to be a first-round draft pick. With the injury, you might still be a first-round draft pick. What do you think? Do you think that you'll end up going on the first night?
I pray and I hope so, but you never know what the teams are thinking or what they have planned. But I definitely believe that I'm deserving of a first-round draft pick because I will be playing this upcoming year, and I don't see any reason why you shouldn't take me in the first round.
Yeah, personally, I'm guessing that you are taken in the first round because somebody's going to say, wow, we got a top half of the first round athlete that's fallen to us, and we got to grab him right now because he's going to be ready to play this year, and an Achilles is not going to end up, you know, being an effect on you for a long term.
Yeah, and the rest of the contract, you still have me, so it'll pan out in the long run, basically.
You took pride in bringing back a quote-unquote dog mentality to the Washington Huskies defense. That's something they had back in the early 90s when they were competing for national championship with Steve Entman and company, and you guys kind of got back to that the last couple of years. What does it take to bring back the dog mentality?
First of all, just starting off with having that mentality. My freshman year, we started our defense, we call it death row. And we just took that and rolled with it, that death row mentality, and just basically playing with a chip on our shoulders as a defense, wanting to show that we're the best and playing for each other. So just as a team, we wanted to get back to national status. Coach P coming to the University of Washington, knowing what he's capable of and his record at Boise, so we just wanted to get back to national status and win games, and that didn't happen my first 2 years. That third year, we made it happen, got to the Peach Bowl.
You guys definitely made it happen. Obviously, last year was an incredibly successful year as well, going into the college football playoff. It didn't end great because you guys ended up losing to Alabama, but the season itself was one of the most successful in Washington Huskies recent memory. What was last year getting all the way to the college football playoff, winning the Pac-12? What did that mean to end your college career like that for you?
It was definitely an awesome experience, especially winning the Pac-12 championship, something that hadn't been done in Washington for a good amount of time. And then going to the Peach Bowl, knowing we have a chance to compete for the national title, that meant a lot. In that game, we felt like we could win it. Everybody was doubting us and asking us, "Oh, do you think you can win this and that?" I'm like, "Yeah, most definitely. Like, you know, I have no doubt in my mind. I have full confidence in our team, and I truly believe we could win that game. But we still lost. We fell short. But that meant a whole lot to get that far."
Sidney Jones joins us from the Washington Huskies heading into the NFL draft. One of the most intriguing players in the NFL draft. You're a Cali kid. Was there any culture shock when you went up to Seattle to become a Husky?
No, actually. The only thing, obviously, people say is the rain. Obviously, it rains more than California, but I kind of like the rain, and I got used to it. It was kind of similar in a way, besides, you know, the atmosphere is just a little bit different. But I love Washington. I love Seattle.
You took some great pride also in playing all the California teams, didn't you? You had some of your best games against USC, UCLA, and the rest of those guys in California.
Yeah, definitely.
What was it about those games that you kind of wanted to put a little bit of extra mustard on?
So my sophomore year, we went down to their house. I had so much family there because that's where I'm from. You know, I had to just show out for them. And that game was special for everybody on our team because we have a whole bunch of guys from Southern California, and we just wanted to put on a show as well as win. So that was a fun game for us.
Your Huskies team, you showed out all season long, and you're one of the best corners in this draft, if not the best corner in this draft, and I think that your draft stock is going to show that wherever you end up going, coming up here starting a week from Thursday. Sidney Jones, Washington Huskies corner. Check out his column at the Players Tribune, which posted yesterday. Really interesting stuff about him coming back from his Achilles injury. Sidney, I wish you the best of luck, my man. Thank you for carving out time for us, and hopefully we can catch up again.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Sidney Jones joining us from the Washington Huskies. If I'm a team, I'm not all that worried. I'm really not because, yeah, he might miss the preseason. Maybe you want to be safe about that. But if you have a rookie who's the best shutdown corner in the draft, and let's say if he's healthy, you would have got him in the top 15. Let's say he was going to go, you know, 12 or 13, something like that before the injury, maybe even higher. Maybe it was going to be 9 or 10. If that's where it is and you are at 28 or 29, 30, 31, 32, you grab that guy because you wouldn't have normally had that ability to get that type of talent at that rate, at that range, and then he's going to come back and play for you in September anyway. Again, you might want to take it slow, but an Achilles is not like an ACL. It's going to come back and I think you're going to be good to go with him. And even if he misses the first month of the season, you've got him on his rookie contract for 12 of the 16 games. You've got a potential shutdown corner that fell to you in your lap, and you still got him on the rookie contract, and you get him, you know, way later than he would have usually been. I think he's going to end up going late first round. At latest, very early second, first 5 or 10 picks of the second round. 855-212-4CBS. When we return, we go sound check your best audio of the day, including Pac-Man Jones snapping at a reporter, and we'll jump back into your phone calls as well on a Trash Tuesday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Ernie Johnson, host of TNT's award-winning Inside the NBA.
Beam me up, DA.
You got it.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Sign up to be an O Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. It's fast, easy, and free. And only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. We remind you that we are streaming on a webcast. Cameras here in the studio. So you can go to watchda.com to check out the live stream on a daily basis. We don't have a camera pointed at Mraz yet and Bilotti inside the glass. So that's a little awkward. When they speak, it's like the angel voices from heaven. But we'll get that fixed. And when we do, you'll get to see all the beautiful attire that Mraz wears on a daily basis here to work. Although today, Sunday's best, a Yankees polo.
Yeah, a Yankee polo. I think that's the best of both worlds for me.
It's a Trash Tuesday here on the DA Show, so you can always check us out on Twitter as well and let us know what you are trashing. Hit me up, DA on CBS. Daniel tweets, DA, never had a chance to listen to your show before, but now I can. Trash Tuesday is absolutely hilarious.
Boom. Trashed.
Glad you think so. It's always fun to vent. Do it with us. It's more fun with more people. Courtney's next up in Santa Barbara, California, listening on the TuneIn app to CBS Sports Radio. Court, what's going on?
Hey, I'm actually a new initiate to the show, but I've been told I need a beam up.
You got it. Happy to beam you aboard.
All right. So I'm calling in to vent about my frustrations with people who don't know how to go to movies.
Okay.
I was set on going to see The Fate of the Furious this weekend, went with a couple of my buds, and 15 minutes into the movie, this family with two giant, like, you know, carriages and strollers with their kids in it come in like 20 minutes late, right? So there's only two reasons to go to see this, the Fast and the Furious movies: beautiful people and beautiful cars. And this was not the case. So to make it worse, they end up pulling out their iPhones because they can't see anything and start using the flashlight app to try and find seats.
Oh, in the middle of the film?
I mean, like, granted, it was past the opening sequence, which was pretty awesome. But so I'm getting in the mood. I'm getting all excited. And these people are starting to flash the lights in my eyes. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So they proceed to take a good solid 2 minutes. Doesn't sound like a long time, but it is when you're watching Vin Diesel. And they finally find their seats, right?
Yeah.
So you've got your seats. You're all sitting down. And then the next thing you know, one of the kids starts crying.
Oh!
And this, I mean, it's a PG-13 movie. The kid's not old enough to know anything, so it doesn't matter when the wiser. But when you lift a kid Simba style, right, start waving him around, trying to get him to calm down, like, I can't see the movie. I pay to see the bald Vin Diesel and the bald Rock, not your bald baby in front of me blocking the screen.
Oh, so those people are the worst.
So then right on cue, of course, the wife tries to, like, you know, take the kid, whatever. And then all of a sudden you discover it. They have, like, two boxes of popcorn between them and a whole bunch of candy, which makes me even more infuriated, because if you knew when the movie started, right, you knew that you had to get there on time and get in queue to buy all your popcorn. But then I'm sitting there thinking, if you have enough money to buy that much food at the movie theater, you can afford a babysitter.
You know what? Trash out.
You're so trashy.
That is one of the best Trash Tuesday calls we've ever had.
You win.
Courtney in Santa Barbara, that was outstanding. Outstanding. Holding that bald baby Simba style up to watch Vin Diesel. Don't you mess with Courtney and her buds that way. Oh, God. Ugh. Parents that don't know that the rest of the world can't stand their little kids are just the worst. We see enough of you guys on Facebook. We do not need you in person as well, ruining our movies and our restaurants and our malls. Stop ruining our lives. You chose to get knocked up 4 times in 7 years. I didn't. It's time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
We start with David Fizdale, head coach of the Grizzlies. You might not have heard of him before last night. Now you have, because he had a tremendous referee rant last night after the Game 2 loss.
Zach Randolph, the most rugged guy in the game, had zero free throws, but somehow Kawhi Leonard had 19 free throws. First half, we shot 19 shots in the paint, and we had 6 free throws. They shot 11 times in the paint, and they had 23 free throws. I'm not a numbers guy, but that doesn't seem to add up. Overall, 35 times we shot the ball in the paint. We had 15 free throws for the game. They shot 18 times in the paint and had 32 free throws. Kawhi shot more free throws than our whole team. Explain it to me. We don't get the respect that these guys deserve because Mike Conley doesn't go crazy. He has class and he just plays the game. But I'm not going to let them treat us that way. You know, I know Pop's got pedigree and I'm a young rookie, but they're not going to rook us. That's unacceptable. That was unprofessional. My guys dug in that game and earned the right to be in that game, and they did not even give us a chance. Take that for data.
Take that for data. I feel like you should be screaming at Bill James and Sabermetrics. Take that for data. And shove it you know where. Boom. I love that rant. Do I think that the referees gave a little bit more treatment to the Spurs because of Pop and because of the lineage and because of the championships? Yeah, I do. Do I think the Spurs are better equipped to get to the line than the Grizzlies? Yes, because of their passing, their ball skills, Kawhi Leonard. I mean, that guy, there's nobody on the floor like Kawhi, so he's going to get to the line, and when he does, he's going to make those free throws. So part of that is not of the officials. But yeah, the officials definitely gave the benefit of the doubt to the Spurs and didn't to the Grizzlies last night. And I think Fizdale's trying to play the officials, trying to get better calls in Game 3. Pac-Man Jones being Pac-Man Jones towards a reporter.
I know you said you were thankful for the organization to have you back. Is there anything you have to show to the fans, you have to prove to the fans, to, for them to welcome you back this year? There was a lot of people upset with the way things went down in the offseason.
Didn't I just tell you don't ask me that?
Yeah, but you know.
You at the conclusion. Turn around. Go back. Go back that way. Bye. See you. Next question. That's his last interview for the year. See y'all later. Don't come over here no more for the rest of the year.
Well. Pac-Man Jones was just released from jail, right? And he's saying, like, anything you want to say to the fans. Pac-Man Jones is like, no, don't talk that way. No, no, turn around. No, last interview. Like, I think that's kind of a fair question. You were the one in jail. Not me. And finally, John Lackey doing a little wink-wink after Eric Thames went yard on him. Thames is 30 years old and just came back to the MLB after a couple of years in Korea. Has been red hot. 5 home runs in the last 5 games.
You watch film on, you know, recent stuff, and you try to figure out a way, you know, to get him out. But I mean, really, even the homer hit the other way, I mean, you don't see that happen here very often. It's kind of one of those things that makes you scratch your head.
Leaves you scratching your head. You don't see that a lot. It would be even better if you could see the video of his big, dumb, fat face making an excuse. Because John Lackey's the worst. I mean, John Lackey is the absolute worst. John Lackey's the guy that shows up his outfielders when they don't make a play for him. And he starts stomping on the mound like a 5-year-old. And then, you know, of course, because Eric Thames goes yard on you, you have to suggest that, well, it's, you know, I did all my studies. I watched the film. I mean, it makes you scratch your head because clearly he can't be doing this without some type of PED. I mean, it's just... Also, maybe just swallow once so that we don't have all of your phlegm in your mouth during every answer of a press conference, you imbecile. That would be nice as well. Just an absolute jerk of the highest proportions. And that is your sound check. When we come back here on the DA show, we've got your cut line, the stories that didn't make the cut this morning, plus your epic fail.
Aw, I love the dog.
Don't we all? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
Amen, Amanda Lara, he.
Always on the radio.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Now that we're in our new time slot, remember there are so many new ways that you can get the show. If you want to hear it because you missed something, or you want to listen again, or you want to watch it, you can stream us by going to the website, cbssportsradio.com, if you're in front of a computer at work or at school or whatever. I mean, pay attention to what you're supposed to be doing, but of course you can listen to us. Also, you can watch us in front of a computer at watchda.com. You can listen to full podcasts of the show. Every minute of the show, 3 full hours are available with limited commercial interruption, which is great. It's a great listen. You can do that on iTunes. Simply search DA CBS Sports. Also, it's on demand on the website, daoncbs.com. If you want to just go back and hit play, listen, watch, all that good stuff. So we got a lot of ways that you can do it when you miss the show or want to hear it again. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. You know, we've played the David Fitzdale rant on the officials a couple of times already today. And as I mentioned before, I mean, when you have Kawhi Leonard going 19 of 19 from the free throw line, that's going to end up skewing the numbers of team free throws. And I can't really say that it's unfair because Kawhi is just such a matchup problem that who on Memphis is fast enough, quick enough, long enough, good enough to D him up and not foul. Now, maybe a few benefit of the doubt calls because it's Kawhi, because it's the Spurs, because it's Pop. But Kawhi ends up skewing those team stats so drastically that I think Fizdale is more than likely just trying to even things out when we go into Game 3 and Game 4 in Memphis versus really feeling it was all that unfair. Maybe he does, but I don't. But I do appreciate the aspect of efforting trying to get the officials on your side and not trying to be sized up as a rookie head coach. But if you did not know that David Fizdale is the head coach of the Grizzlies, you're not alone. Let me give you the Memphis Grizzlies head coaches since 2001. Sidney Lowe, Hubie Brown, Lionel Hollins the first time, Mike Fratello, Tony Barone. It might be Tony Barone, but he was only there a year and only 52 games.
It's not Tony Baloney, is it?
It's not Tony Baloney. I think I'm going to just say it's Tony Barone, followed by Mark Iavarone, or Iavarone, or Iavarone. Iavarone?
I have a Roni every Sunday afternoon.
Then it was Johnny Davis for 2 games. Then it was Lionel Hollins for a long time, like 4 seasons. Then it was Dave Yeager, and now it's David Fizdale. So, 1 Barone, 2 Iavarones, 3 Yeagers, and a couple of Yeager shots. I mean, that's just a lot of Grizzlies action since 01. A lot of Grizzlies action.
Big Country Reeves never slid in and became a head coach?
No. That was the Vancouver Grizzlies days when it was Brian Winters, followed by Stu Jackson, followed by Brian Hill, followed by Lionel Hollins the first time in Vancouver, then Sidney Lowe for 82 games in Vancouver. So there's been 3 Lionel Hollins stops for the Grizzlies over their tenure.
Boy, it's a wonder nothing worked out in Vancouver.
Let us get your stories that didn't make the cut. It's your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Last night, Predators game in Nashville. The Preds gave out of the press box on every desk, every chair, a bottle of Gatorade, a pack of gum, and a mini bottle of Jack Daniels. I mean, look, I'm not going to say you should buy off the media. We have our own problems with credibility in 2017. But I am saying that Predators staff is one smart freaking staff. Because if you want some decent coverage, if you want everybody in town to show up to your games to cover it, if you want to lead the newscast, if you want to lead the newspaper, if you want to be the lead on the front page of your website, if you want to be the lead on the sports talk radio shows, give every media member that goes there Jack Daniels, and then after they take their tokes of it, after they take down a little bit of it, a bottle of Gatorade and a pack of gum to cover up the smell on their breath of the Jack Daniels. I mean, everything about this is brilliant.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
This is such a good idea. I might have this for lunch today. Jack Daniels, Gatorade, and gum. That's the lunch of champions right there. Oh, bosses, I'm not drunk at all. I'm ready to do my show. I mean, okay, I'm just drinking Gatorade. The DH is going to be great. It's going to be great because, I mean, you're just drinking Gatorade and, like, chewing gum. I mean, you can't even smell anything on my breath, can you?
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Not good times in Carmelo Anthony land. On the one hand, you have the president, Phil Jackson, saying, we don't want you here anymore. On the other hand, you have Lala saying, I don't want you anymore. TMZ Sports is reporting that Carmelo messed around, got a triple-double, and then also got a stripper pregnant. Apparently, there's a woman who claims that she's preggers with his baby. The woman works at a gentleman's club in New York City, scores. And we're told, this is according to TMZ, actually, I don't know. We're told that, TMZ's told, she's claiming to be 6.5 months preggers with Melo's child. TMZ reports that she has made it clear to Melo she expects him to kick in for medical expenses and other baby-related costs. So, yeah, his cost just went up a whole hell of a lot. So he's not going to be opting out of any contracts or reworking his deals. He's definitely going to be taking all $30 million next season.
On the positive, I think we found out he can run the triangle.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Sources close to both Melo and Lala tell TMZ Sports the marriage has been rocky for a while. Wonder if the inside source is Kevin Garnett on this story. Well, the pregnancy wasn't the tipping point. It certainly did not help. Please send Honey Nut Cheerios in remembrance of their relationship. And finally, when umpires go to the instant replay, will we get to hear what they're talking about? According to the Associated Press, Major League Baseball and umps are discussing a plan for crew chiefs to wear a microphone to explain replay rulings. Under one possible scenario, they would start at the All-Star game on July the 11th in Miami, tweak the process over the season's second half, and then go forward with the experiment in the playoffs. Yeah, this is nice. If an umpire takes the microphone, explains to the crowd what's going on. But really, we don't need explanations. We want to hear you discuss and analyze what you're seeing as you watch the replay. I'm not interested in Ed Hockley giving me a dissertation on pass interference, but I am interested when he's looking over replays of what he's seeing and what they're debating. Because I feel like sometimes they're just acting like they're busy and they're not really busy. You ever watch a football game and they take like a couple of seconds to look at the replay, then they go to commercial break. We come back from commercial break and they're not doing anything, just kind of standing around. And then they're told, okay, now you can make the announcement. So then they rush to the front of the field, the middle of the field. Okay, now we'll make the announcement. I kind of feel like they don't really know what's going on. Somebody tells them what's going on. And they're like, oh, yes, well, we had this all along. Yes, of course.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And that is your cut line tonight. Now, today, this morning. So we actually also posted on our Facebook page today McDonald's new uniforms, because what could be more important than the redesign, the reboot of McDonald's iconic unis? What we found out today was that Mraz actually considers that an aphrodisiac. What drives him crazy was seeing his wife in the McDonald's visor. Do you still make her wear that around the house in lingerie?
No, I'll never get it back, but it's better than lingerie.
So he posted on Facebook, who redesigned it best? Was it McDonald's new uniforms that kind of look like something out of a Star Trek episode? It's a very bizarre look, I got to say. Is it the Lions that just redesigned their unis, or the Minnesota Timberwolves, which redesigned their logo? Dane writes on Facebook, to be honest, I think McDonald's really delivered with the new uniforms. The amount of creativity that must have taken something that would leave Gaudet awestruck. Am I pronouncing that right? I don't know my ancient artists. we're a bunch of idiots around here.
What you think about that, D.A.?
I sense some sarcasm, Dane. Michael writes in, the Timberwolves win. The Lions uniforms, that damn Honolulu blue and silver, still say loser. The McDonald's ones still say bad food.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
You know, I love the Lions' old uniforms. I think they have one of the best color schemes in all of sports. Honolulu blue and silver are badass. And if only Nike did not have to constantly validate its own existence by saying, oh, yes, we're going to redesign this to make it look better, and then really just make it kind of all look worse, they would just go back to what it was before the Matt Millen black injection, which was ridiculous, and it would look like Barry Sanders and Herman Moore and Brett Perriman. Mark writes in, the T-Wolves added that action green like the Seahawks. I'm looking forward to their color rush uniforms. Yeah, exactly. And the Timberwolves could be so cool because their original logo was so cool. But now they just look like the Phoenix, Arizona Coyotes with a howling wolf. So you can write in your thoughts on the redesigns of McDonald's new uniforms by going to Facebook.com/TheDAShow. Again, Facebook.com/TheDAShow.
Yeah, get my timeline popping.
Go there, like the show page. We'll get your timeline popping. So speaking of the redesigns, it is the subject of our epic fail this morning.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Mraz, you used to work at Subway, so you know the fast food attire. What were you guys, what were you supposed to wear?
Usually a clean green polo, apron tied around our waist.
Oh, so it wasn't official Subway polo.
It said Subway on the side, but it was always green.
Okay.
And then when I got upgraded to manager, it was like a plaided look they gave me, so you could really distinguish.
Wow, so you got plaid because you were the manager.
Yeah. I really up myself. It was really good. They didn't have them in 3X, though, so I always had to squeeze into a 2X back in the day.
Told you, it looks like an everything bagel.
Okay, so what do you think about the McDonald's redesign? If I were to describe it, it's like now they've gone dark gray and black.
Yeah, I see. I like this look, although this change hits close to home to me. When I first met my wife, my then girlfriend, she was working at McDonald's in the old uniform. And boy, she used to look good coming out of that fryer with the old blue McDonald's shirt.
Didn't
you know?
She?
To all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese.
Oh, yeah, really
so you
did
like
it for
that
me.
Look.
I really like that look.
Really?
Really traditional.
So Danielle in the McDonald's uniform did it for you.
Did it for me.
He's got a big rear end.
I would say when I saw her in the McDonald's uniform, I knew maybe that was the time I had to put a ring on her finger.
Wow.
And she used to make me off-menu stuff like cheese fries and Oreo shakes.
The bread is just incredibly good.
And she knew how to press the big boys' buttons. You know what I mean? She knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
But now I look at this uniform and I say, as much as it breaks my heart not seeing those old traditional uniforms, I realize this is cleaner, this is better, because I think what we've gotten used to now at McDonald's is the heavyweight teenager with, you know, acne pouring out of their face from the oils.
Sure.
And, you know, just that blue shirt or, you know, greenish shirt, whatever.
It used to be purple, too.
Purple,
purple.
Attracts more stains on it. I think this is just a cleaner look, and I think when you look at people serving you food in this dark black slimming color, I think you feel like you're eating healthier than you are, and I think this is a mind game by McDonald's, and I respect that.
Interesting.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
It's all a mind game. It's all perception. It's all a mind game. I still have not had one of the Big Mac minis or the Big Mac grandes.
The Mac Junior or the Grand Mac.
That's right.
Let's call them by their proper name.
I'm
give them
sorry. I did not mean to disrespect them. Have you partaken?
Yes, I had a Mac Junior, not the Grand Mac. Now, as you know, I'm not the biggest Big Mac fan.
I know, I am.
But I did have the Mac Junior, and it's solid. You know, it gets you by. It's just like having a Big Mac, only smaller, and I'm sure if you get the Grand, it's only bigger. It's like Starbucks sizes.
Okay. Like sliders. It's like a Big Mac slider.
Right, a Big Mac slider. Popped it right down the throat.
Yeah. This is an amazing, I mean, really, we learn something new about Mraz every single day, but learning that he really is turned on by his wife in the McDonald's visor and polo is just too much, and the apron. Oh, it's just fantastic. It's just fantastic. Oh, that's good. You know, I don't know what to think about these redesigns because they're just so weird looking. But then again, this is a sports radio show that metaphorically flies around in a spaceship. So who am I to say that something looks weird and off kilter and a little off balance? Really, that's not, I shouldn't, pot calling kettle black here. Tim tweets in, DA, who's surprised that certain players get better treatment in all sports? Memphis has to adapt and overcome. They have no choice. Yeah, and the issue is they don't have as many good players as San Antonio. Nobody, I mean, Kawhi Leonard is a top three, top five player in the NBA. I heard the guys on TNT last night suggesting that he's the number two player behind LeBron James of the NBA. Maybe. I mean, he's amazing both ways, and he's a guy that can just flat take over a series. Chuck tweets in, DA, love Trash Tuesdays. I'd love to trash all the bags in Washington thinking they're boat racing Toronto in the playoffs. Yeah, that didn't happen. Once again, the Capitals choking like dogs on a milk bone. Down 2-1 to the plucky Leafs. Leafs. That'll do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Pete the Body Bilotti on the wheels of steel. And Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm DA and the Mothership disconnects.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.